All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same. I like this, what's in parentheses right here. That's just a Paul's comment. I speak as unto my children. He wanted them to know that what he's addressing is a very touchy subject. The subject of separation is a touchy subject. I promise you, if anybody will get fuzzed up, it'll be when you preach on separation. Amen. It's a difficult thing for a preacher to deal with because he knows he's going to run the risk of somebody falling out with him. But Paul has put that little insertion there in parentheses to let them know the tenderness of his heart and the affection of his heart that is behind his message. I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for this time together that we've had around this passage of Scripture now for the fourth service. We pray, Lord, that you will help us now as we look at the passage before us and endeavor to try to complete that which you would have us to give this people. Help us, Lord, to allow what we've heard to penetrate our heart and deal with us. And Lord, may we realize that you indeed desire and demand your people to be a separate people, a sanctified, a holy, a pure people. And I pray you'll help us to have that desire. Help us to hate sin. Help us to love righteousness and seek to please you with our lives. Help us to be an influence on others, that others might see Jesus in us. Father, help me now, I pray, take control of my thoughts and of my heart. Help me to preach like I wished I had when I stand one day to face the commander-in-chief that called me into the ministry, my precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. For it's in His beloved name we pray. Amen. We've been dealing with the passage before us on the subject of separation. Of course, we've hooked it up with a series that we've been preaching for some time on honeybees, or bees in the believer, bees that'll produce honey in your soul. And we've dealt with several, and we're now dealing and have dealt with three services, tonight being the fourth, on the honeybee of separation, the bee of separation. Now, I know a lot of people may not look at that as a honeybee or a bee that will have positive effects in our life, put things in our life that'll be enjoyable. But certainly separation will. I believe one of the greatest needs today of the church is for the people of God to get a right idea about what biblical separation is. I believe that's a critical thing, is for people to have the right concept of what separation is. Now, I know that in the now four messages, I know that I've not really dealt with anything particular. You'd have to say amen right there. I mean, far as just naming stuff and dealing with things, and I'm not afraid of that, but my main purpose was to lay some groundwork to show you separation is indeed a biblical doctrine. And it doesn't just line up with one or two little don'ts or dues in your life, but it covers your whole life. Amen. Separation is not what we do. Separation is what we are. It is how we live. The people before us in the text, God said, they shall be my people. God says the way to identify my people is a separated life. And we'll be dealing with that in just a few minutes. But first of all, in verse 11 and 12 and 13, we dealt with, and I dealt with it this morning some more, and I'm not going to, other than just mention it, we dealt with the preacher and separation. Great need today is for preachers once again to practice and to preach biblical separation. And we talked about several things about that. The second truth we pointed out in verse number 12 was the prevention of separation. What is it that prevents people from living a separated life? Is it something on the outside? No. Verse number 12 tells us that they are straitened in their own bowels. That is, their heart, their affection is too small. It's a love problem. The bottom line foundational problem behind a lack of a separated life is a love problem. Because I believe if you love right, you'll live right. Amen. The commandments of God are not grievous. It won't bother you. It won't be a burden to you to line up with the commands of God's Word if you love the commander. Amen. But then we talked about the prevention of separation. And then thirdly, we started this morning dealing with the principles of separation, verse 14 through 16. There's the principles of separation. And we started with the first one, and that was the principle of association. And I've talked about there in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with. Those two words are key. Together with. God is interested who you are together with. God is interested who you associate yourself with. And the word with, we pointed that out also this morning, that in these three verses, 14 through 16, the word with shows up six different times. Six different times the word with appears in this passage. So we find that separation indeed deals with your life concerning association. Amen. I believe if you're right with God, you will want those that are right with God to be around you. Amen. Or else, if you're around those on the job or at school that are not right with God, your heart's desire will be to influence them for God. Are you listening? Are you listening, preacher? I said, even though you may have unbelievers around you and you can't go through this world with 6.4 billion people without having unbelievers around you. God, I said this morning, is not in isolation business. He's not in the isolation ministry. He's in separation ministry. He wants us to be separate but not isolate. Amen? Don't want us to be isolated. But if you're around unbelievers, and you are, your main goal ought to be, and main prayer, Lord, help me to influence these people for the Lord. Not them influencing me, pulling me down to their level, making me want to dress like them, make me want to listen to their music, make me want to go to their places and be involved in their practice, but me influence them to want to go to church with me. That right there ought to identify to you, my friend, some people that you may not want to be around, is that they're always wanting you to go with them, but they never want to go with you. I want to tell you, I wouldn't go with too many people. In fact, I don't know that I'd go with any that would not come with me at least every once in a while to the house of God. I'm talking about on a friendship basis. So there was the principle of association we talked about, the unequal yoke mentioned in verse 14, and some other things. Second truth I want to share, and which is where we left off this morning. Not only is there the principle of association, but there is the principle of identification that is seen in this chapter. In this context, what do you mean identification? That's what separation is. It is, and I thought about it this morning, when Brother David had the American flag held here in front of the veterans, and we gave the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and Brother Craig sang the national anthem, I was thinking while that was going on, that red, white, and blue flag right up there, my friend, is our identification. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, if you don't want to be identified with the stars and the stripes, then you're not an American.
Amen.
Amen. You may have citizenship here, but you're not an American. And you can be that way. I mean, we've got candidates running for president that want him to salute the flag. Won't put his hand over his heart to salute the flag. And I don't want to get on that or burn a good message. But that is our identification nationally. Amen. That's right. Nobody wearing one of them on the seat of the breeches or burning them on the courthouse step is an American. That's right. Praise God, that's our identity. And I don't know about you, but I felt an emotion of patriotism this morning, buddy, when that flag was stuck out there and these soldiers, my friend was across here, and brother, we gave them the salute and the pledge to the flag. Buddy, I felt, thank God, some of that red, white, and blue pumping in my veins. Amen. Thank God for America. Hallelujah. I'm an American. Praise God. Amen. But it's our identification nationally. But I want to ask you, what is your identification spiritually? What is your flag spiritually? Amen? That's right. What is your flag that will identify you? What is your banner that will identify your beliefs? What is your flag? I'll tell you what the flag of the believer is separation and a sanctified life. How you live is the banner that you fly publicly as to what nation you belong to, what king you serve under, what laws you obey. Is that separated and sanctified life? Identification. Amen. That's right. Reveals, you know, somebody that would be ashamed of that flag, as far as I'm concerned, they're ashamed of our country. They're ashamed of our Constitution. They're ashamed for everything this country stands for. That's right. Amen. Well, I think, too, the person that's ashamed of living a separated and sanctified life, privately and publicly, is also ashamed of the country that they represent. And the Bible said, I believe it's Ephesians or is it Philippians, that we are citizens. Our citizenship is in heaven. Where's that at, Brother Mark? Ephesians? I believe it is. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're representing that country. Our flag is how we live. That's the public banner that identifies who we are. But I found out as I began to study on this and meditate on this, what you want to be identified as is what usually dictates how you live. What you want to be identified as and who you want to be identified with is what usually controls your decisions. Amen? That's right. Horizontally, do you want to be identified with the world? Or vertically, do you want to be identified with God? Listen. Our identification deals with what you want to be identified as and who you want to be identified with. Amen. Now listen to me. We're covering ground good. What a person does or don't do is lined up with or matches those that they want to be identified with. People will dress themselves to match who they want to be identified with. Have you ever seen people, even in Rogersville, going around, their fingernails are black, their clothes are black, most of the time their hair is either black or dyed black or some other off-the-wall color, their lipstick is black, all of the apparel is black. You know why they do that? They want to be identified with the Gothic movement. All the chains and all of that garbage and the baggy clothes and the slouchy look, you know what that is? That is a fad statement. That is an outward display on their body of who they want to be identified with. Amen. Amen. And your dress, dear friend, does identify you with somebody. Amen. Brother David is used to be in the armed police force. And Brother David, you had a uniform. Police officers have a uniform. You know why they wear it? They want to be identified by the way they look with the law, with the police force. Amen? Brother Bob, isn't that true? Unless they're going under some kind of undercover project, they don't mind driving a police car. They don't mind wearing the police clothing. Why? Because they want to be identified by how they dress as to who they are and what they're for. Of course, you can make that same application with the medical field and the ambulance service and the fire department. They all have their identification attire. Amen. And brother, I want to tell you, even in our day, in the realm of Christianity, the way you dress yourself is for the purpose, most of the time, of identification. Do you want to be identified with the world? If so, guess how you'll dress? Worldly. If you want to be identified as godly, I want to be identified with God, then guess how you'll dress? Because you, listen, you'll dress godly. Amen. Why? Because you know that how you are outwardly is a statement of identification. Amen. That's right. And so that's just an example of what I'm telling you. Amen. They want to dress and do the hairdo deal. You know, why? For the purpose of identification. They want to be identified with the popular. You don't even have to get the Enquirer. You don't even have to get some of the modern periodicals and the magazines of our day that shows the Hollywood outfit. You don't even have to get none of those to look and to see what's popular in Hollywood. All you have to do is look around here. Look around Rogersville and see how young people are dressing. Look at their hairdo. Look at all of that, and that's a statement of identification. The whole doctrine of separation is about identification. People that don't want to live a separated life, they do not want to be identified with God and the believers. That's right. Oh yes, dear friend. We've had in times past and years past, we've had young people that would not go on youth activities with us, nor to youth camp with us, because they knew they was going to have to dress right. Rather not go, rather not be involved, as to have to dress right. That is a statement of identification and a statement of rebellion. Amen. That's exactly right. That's right. Now listen, I'm still preaching. I'm still in the house. Y'all paying attention? I'm talking about identification. Amen. Hollywood, and I'm not wanting to stay right here and get bogged down. I got a lot of ground to cover tonight, but we ought to get sick and tired of the West Coast influencing and setting the standards for the East Coast. Everything that gets here started out there. Amen. And all of the fads goes from West to East. Look at Hollywood, what's in out there, and before long it'll be in out here. The old bedhead look. Anybody's ever saw that? You know what the bedhead look is, don't you? Just look in the mirror when you get up. Hair going 5,000 different directions. Sticking every which way. Amen. Guess where that come from? That was piped in here from Hollywood. All them movie stars, all them young, them rock stars and all that bunch, they're the ones that introduced that homosexual hairstyle. The bedhead look. That's right. Clothes that drags the ground. Amen. I mean, seriously, y'all seen that? That came from the prisons of Hollywood, of California. That's a homosexual statement. That is, without getting explicit, that is a homosexual advertisement. that lets the other mates know that they are available. But everybody around here wears it like that, thinking it's cool and that it's in. No, it's a statement of identification. If you don't want to be identified as one, then don't dress like them. Amen. And you young girls ought to know this truth. If a guy don't have enough morality about him to keep his britches up, how's he going to keep you up? He don't even know what size clothes he wears. That's the truth. He don't even know what size clothes he wears. He thinks it's real good, looks good to have something 400 sizes too big to where he has to go around all the time of pulling them up. Ain't nothing. Hey, read my lips. Ain't nothing spiritual about that. You'll not get that out of the Bible. You'll not get that dress code out of the Bible. Are you listening? You'll not get that dress code out of the Bible. Young girls wearing the old tight, low-cut, revealing, short miniskirt deals where they're revealing everything. You didn't get that out of the Bible. You didn't get that from the Holy Ghost. I tell you where you got that from. You got that from Britney Spears and that Aguilera or whatever her name is. You got that from Hollywood, not from heaven. Amen. I know this ain't popular, but you can tell I'm bothered about it. I'm so sick of it, I can't hardly stand it, friend. Not being able to see a distinction between God's people and the world. One preacher said, I forgot his name now, one of the old timers of the past. He said, you might as well talk about a heavenly devil as you had to talk about a worldly Christian. Amen? God's people ought not to be interested to be identified with this world. God's people ought to want to be identified with the Savior that called them. The Bible said that He, in Hebrews 7:26, Jesus Christ, it said about Him that He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. That's what the Bible says. Amen. It's getting quiet in here, but that's okay. You're thinking. Amen. I don't preach on this often. Y'all know that here at RBT. Very seldom ever do it. But I want to tell you right now, it needs to be addressed because it is a statement of identification. That's right. Amen. I'm going to give you something the Lord gave me the other day. Y'all pray for me. I don't want to get bogged down here. I want to tell you what the Lord gave me the other day about parents. God told me to tell you, and He told that to me too, we are supposed to take care of the morality of our kids and the modesty of our kids, and then He's to take care of the spirituality of our kids. The parents' business is to make sure their children knows what's right and wrong morally, and also to take care and set the standard in their life about modesty and how to dress as a young lady and how to dress as a young man. And then let God work on them spiritually. That's good. That's good, preacher, right there, buddy. But how many parents is doing that? How many parents is doing that? Letting their girls go around, my friend, showing their breasts? There ain't nothing spiritual about that. You say, preacher, you're getting too plain. Oh, shut up. If you got a television, don't say a word to me about getting plain. They hear worse than that on Disney Channel. They see worse than that on Disney Channel. Ain't nothing spiritual about that. When you parents let your girls dress like that, you're asking for trouble. Amen. That's right. I said that's right. Amen. And amen, that's right. Skimpy, tight stuff, you didn't get that out of the Bible. Amen. Women looking like men, that didn't come out of the Bible. Men looking like women, that didn't come out of the Bible. That's right. That's right. I mean, Deuteronomy 22:5 is still in the book. It's an abomination for the woman to wear that which pertaineth to a man and the man to wear that which pertaineth to a woman. It's an abomination of the Lord. That's right. It's wrong for me to put on a dress. Say amen right there. Y'all be bothered if a preacher, you seen him out in town wearing a dress, wouldn't you? Wouldn't he be bothered? Rightfully so. In fact, one preacher not far from here got caught wearing a dress out in town. It's all over the news and everything else. That's a shame. That's an abomination. You'd say, boy, when you see that, you say, there's something wrong with that picture. Well, what about women? Dressing like men. You didn't get that out of the Bible. You know I love you. I'm telling you the truth. You didn't get that dress code out of the Bible. I'll tell you where you got it. You got it from Hollywood. Say amen right there. You know I'm telling it right. Well, amen. I didn't think y'all could take that much. But that's all right. It needs to be preached. Listen, I can't tell you what to do outside this church. But I tell you what, we do have a dress standard on church property and church grounds, and I have not changed. Some have been trying me on that, thinking I don't know what's going on. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put a stop to it. Amen? We're going to make sure that when people drive by here and sees the ladies in our yard, in our parking lot, and the men in our parking lot, brother, that they're dressed properly to identify themselves with this church as a Christian church. Amen? That's right. If you dress like a heathen in at your house and out in public, I hate that. It's not right, but I don't have no dealings with that. Amen. And what's good for mom and daddy is good for the children. Come on now. We done got that open now. We might as well just squish all the juice out of it. I know parents right now, not only in this church, but in other churches, that stands right, lives right, and tries to dress right, but they're letting their children not dress right. That ain't right, brother. You know what that is? I'll tell you what that is. That's a mom and daddy that really don't believe it themselves. They're only living that way on account of the preacher. Or a position. What's getting quiet? Y'all notice that? It ain't quiet in the pulpit. You know why? I'm not bothered about it because it's truth. I'm preaching truth. Amen. Yes, amen. I know we need to get done with this tonight. What's our identification? Let me give them to you quickly. Three things. Our identification, we're first of all identified as children. Jesus, here in the passage says, look at it, verse number 16, the latter part. He said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Then he gives the command to come out from among them and be ye separate, verse 17. Look at verse 18. He said, I will be a father unto you and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know what he's saying here? He's saying here the identification of children, my friend, is a separated life. Now I wanted you to hear me now on this statement. Separation does not make you a child of God. But it only manifests that you are one. It does not make you one. Don't you think? Because if you just started dressing like a lady and boys dressing like men and you know and all that, that makes you a child of God. It does not. It does not make you a child of God, but it sure will manifest that you are one. Because we're talking about identification. It identifies you as a child, as children. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows them that are His. One of the great preachers of the yesteryears, he made the statement. He said, I'm glad the Lord knows who's His because it's hard to identify them now. Amen. And so it identifies you as a child, as one of His. Yes, sir. Amen. Listen to what Exodus 8:23 says. I want you to listen to this. I mean, this is all through the Bible. All through the Bible. Exodus 8:23. Here's what the Bible says. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. That's the message that was given to the Egyptian leader, Pharaoh. God said, I'm going to put a division between my people and thy people. There should always be a distinction, a visible distinction, a very clear distinction between God's people and the world. Am I in the Bible or not? Am I not reading that? Some of you are afraid to say amen. Are you under conviction? One. Chapter number 11, verse 7 of Exodus. Listen to what the Bible says. He talks about something there and then he says, here's the reason. That you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. So God's always demanded a difference. Listen to what Leviticus 20 and verse 26 says. Let me turn over there and read that real quick. Leviticus 20 and verse number 26. Amen. I can't believe how quiet it's getting. I wonder if that's of the flesh or the spirit. Leviticus 20, verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. So it's the whole thing about separation is identification. God wants you to be identified with Him and not them. Alright, let's notice something else. Now this is pretty strong right here. We're not only identified in this text as Christians or as children, but in verse 15, I want you to look at this. Now remember this list down through here. The left side is God's people. The right side is the unbeliever. Okay? He's talking about us being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. On one side you got a believer, on the other side you got an unbeliever. They can't be yoked together, and he gives these series of questions. He says in verse 15, "In what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Now, all of those left side statements identifies a believer. What are you talking about? Righteousness, that's us. Light, that's us. Christ, that's us. He that believeth, that's us. The temple of God, that's us. What are you saying? I'm simply saying, and I've seen this, that when he comes down through that list on the left showing us who we are, and then on the other side showing who the unbelievers are, he identifies us as Christ. Our life is hid with Christ in God. You can't separate Christ from the Christian. In other words, we ought to live our life as though we are Christ on earth. Christian means little Christ. We are to be a resemblance of Christ. We ought to be a replica of Christ. We're His and He's ours. And brother, there ought to be an identification with Him. Amen. Hebrews 7:26, "For such an high priest became us." He became us. He was identified with us, Brother Brian. Then the Bible said, "Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Christ was Christ outside. Christ was Christ inside. It was nothing put on. There was no outward differences. Amen. He was Christ on the inside. He was Christ on the outside. He was Christ publicly. He was Christ privately. He didn't have three or four different lives that he lived and switched around. He was just himself. God wants us to be like that, in that we have one life. Not lives separate, different lives that we live, a work life, a school life, a neighborhood life, a home life, a church life. God wants us to be like Christ everywhere we live. Amen. 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 That's right. So He identifies us as Christ. Here's another one to think about. Verse 16. He identifies us as a church. The temple of God. The temple of God. Amen. Everybody that drives by this building right here knows, without even looking at the sign, they know this is a church. Is that right? They know this is a church by the way it looks. And we try to keep it looking like a church. Amen. It's identified outwardly as a church. Well, anybody come in here and see the pews and the pulpit and everything, they know this is a church inside. God's saying we're going to be like a church, a temple of God, outside and inside. Separation. I want to ask you something. I mean, if I'm out in left field, and if I'm 400 miles off track here, I want to just ask you something. Is separation a biblical doctrine? And if so, what areas of your life does it apply? I mean, if I'm wrong and I'm out in left field and I'm just running rabbits, I'm asking you, if it's a biblical doctrine, then what areas of your lives does it apply to, and what areas does it not apply to? If I'm supposed to be separated, does that deal with my eyes? And what I look at, does it deal with my ears, what I listen to? Does it deal with my attitude? Huh? Am I supposed to be separated in my attitude? Am I supposed to act like a heathen in my attitude? In my anger? Am I supposed to act like a heathen? No. There's supposed to be separation in my insides, my affection. I'm not supposed to love what lost people loves. Amen. I'm asking you, and I don't want you to respond out loud, but I want you to come up with this conclusion. Either that or we're going... The preacher's going to be going in one direction, and the church is going to be going in another direction, because I'm preaching the direction I'm going in. And it's not that I've just started that way. I've been traveling this way for 27 years. This is not a new message for RBT. I've been preaching this, not every service and not often, but preaching it every once in a while right here at this church, because this is me. I believe it's the truth. I believe it's the Bible. If separation is in that book, what areas of my life does it apply to? Does it apply to the way I dress? Either it does or it don't. Either it does or it don't. It applies to the music I listen to. It does or it don't. What I look at. What I think about. I should be separated from unbelievers in my thoughts even. My summary of this is, separation affects every area of your life. Every area of your life. Your home life, your neighborhood life, your school life, your work life, your church life. It affects every area of your life. But we're identified as the temple of God. Now, I want to ask you something. This building is identified as a church. I want to ask you, is your body identified as a church? This church is identified as a temple. Is your body identified as a temple? Amen. A lot of people will do in their body what they wouldn't dare do inside this church. And you know what they'd say if you were to ask them why? They'd say, oh, preacher, that's the house of God. That's the house of God. I wouldn't dare do that inside the sanctuary. I wouldn't dare do that. I wouldn't wire that to church. Ain't no way. Hey, wait a minute. You know really where the house of God is in the New Testament? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say amen right there. Y'all ought to be agging me on preaching these truths. You ought not to be drying up. You ought not to be getting quiet on me. Amen. If there's any church around here, you ought to say an amen to the doctrinal preaching on separation. And you notice what I noticed? Have you noticed this? As long as I was just preaching generally about separation, everybody liked it. As long as I just generalized it and said it's a biblical doctrine, and and God wants us to be different and all that. Amen, preacher, praise God, amen. But when I started nailing down a few little specifics there, it all of a sudden, I just want to ask you, and I mean it's a legitimate question, is that produced of the Holy Spirit on a biblical truth, or is that the flesh? I tell you what it is, it's the flesh, because the preacher was getting close to some pets in your life. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right there it is. Verse number 16, and also 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 deals with the same truth. All right, let me deal with another thing. There's a principle of sanctification. Association, identification, and sanctification. He said in verse number 16, touch not. Verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now listen, you know what that references? You know what that verse is referencing back to? I want to ask you a question. How many thinks a preacher loves you? I want an amen on it. Or raise your hand or something. I do love you. I do love you. It ain't easy to preach what I'm preaching. But I want you to notice that verse 17 references Isaiah 52 in verse number, I can't even read it, verse 11. Let's go back there and read that. Let's go back there and read that verse. Isaiah 52:11. Here's the verse. And what's happening in this passage, in Isaiah 52 is the Babylonian captivity. God's people were taken down into Babylon and were captives. Here's what he tells them in verse 11, which our text passage is referencing. Depart ye, depart ye. Go you out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17 is the New Testament reference of that verse. Do you notice all of the go ye's and the depart ye's and the be ye's in that one verse? Did y'all notice that? Twice started out the verse, depart ye, two times. Study it out for yourself. I done looked it up. You know what those two words means? Depart ye, you know what that means? Be ye separated, be ye separated. That's right. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. He just kept driving it. Boom, boom, boom. Depart. Go ye out. Touch no unclean thing. Verse 12. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel be your rearward. You see that word rearward? You know what he was saying in verse 12? He's saying that this people had been in Babylonian captivity so long that they wanted to linger there. They didn't want to leave Babylon. They drove their stakes down. They drove their stakes down, Brother Brian, and didn't want to leave it. And here God comes in and tells them, depart ye, go out from thence. Get! It's not my will that you stay here in Babylon. But they wanted to stay around and linger. Why? Because they liked it. And I'm going to tell you, your flesh likes it. The unseparated life, the flesh likes. The flesh does not want to live the pure and the holy life. Mine don't. Yours don't. And they were hesitant about leaving. That's what verse 12 is talking about. They won't go out in haste. They was afraid of making that long journey back to Palestine. Fearful of their lives. But you know what God said? If you make efforts to mind me and obey me and choose to go the separated route in life, He said, here's what will happen. He said, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rearward. And that rearward is the word that means rear guard. He said, I'll not just go before you, but I'll come in behind you and I'll protect you. That's what he's saying. So 2 Corinthians 6:17 is making a reference back there to that Babylonian captivity and that crowd that didn't want to leave Babylon because they liked that worldly Babylonian lifestyle and didn't want to leave and go back to Palestine, which was the will of God for them. And God came in and said, depart ye, go out from her, go out from thence. Amen. And so we have the principle of sanctification. Don't touch the unclean thing. See, he deals with departure in that passage, but he also deals with defilement in that passage. He said, I want you to depart. That's what separation is. Putting a difference between you and the unbeliever. And he said, not only am I interested in you departing, I'm interested in you in your defilement. I don't want nothing to defile you. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't touch it. Amen. So there's a principle of sanctification. Let me deal with this quickly. Some of you have been done. But there is the purposes for sanctification. I mean separation. We've talked about the preacher. We've talked about the principles. Amen. We're talking the prevention with principles. And now we're talking about, my friend, the purposes. What's the purpose? What is the purpose? Why? Why be separate, preacher? Why be separated? We don't ever hear nobody else preaching on it. We listen to the radio. We listen to TV preachers. We don't ever hear nobody else preaching on it. That must be just your thing. Well, you can believe that if you want to. That'd be fine. It don't matter to me. But the purpose of separation is this. Number one, deals with habitation. The purpose for which you and I should be separated is because you and I are the habitation of God. God is not living in the clouds. He's not out there in trees. He don't even live in the building that we call Rogersville Baptist Temple. He lives in the believer. Your body is the habitation of God. Is that not a purpose for a separated life? Amen. Amen. Not only that, here's another one. Not only the habitation of God, but the operation of God is a purpose for a separated life. Look what he says. In verse number 16, he said, not only you are the temple of the living God, as God had said, he said, I'll dwell in them. And here it is. He said, I'll walk in them. You know what that means? God is saying, I'm going to be in operation in them. I'm going to be moving. I'm going to be operative. I'm going to be working in them. I'm going to walk in them. Amen. I like that, don't you? We need some divine operations of God going on. But where is it going to go on at? It's going to go on in and through a separated life. That's a purpose for which you and I are to be separated, my friend, in the way we live and act and conduct ourselves and so forth, is because or so that God can operate through us and walk in us. I mean, a lot of people want Him to work. You won't go nowhere and go to no church and ask them, do y'all want God to work? Every one of them say, yeah, we want God to work. But what they mean is we want God to work without us cleaning up. We want God to work without us being interested in a holy life. And that's not the will of God. Amen? Amen. So there's the operation of God. I'll walk in that. And then here's another purpose for a separated life, and that is the relation or the affiliation of God. God said in verse number 16, I'll be their God and they shall be my people. God said, I'm going to be affiliated with that crowd. God said, I'm going to be affiliated and associated with that crowd. What crowd? That crowd that's come out from among them and be separate. That crowd that's interested in being holy. That crowd that's interested in purity. And I want to tell you, God's people are. Sinners are not. God's people are interested in purity, and there's not one out of 100 in most churches that's the least bit interested in what I'm preaching tonight. It's not just here. I can go anywhere, and get in any pulpit and preach anything about separation and feel the exact same shut down, tight, quiet spirit that I felt a while ago. Either I'm preaching something that's 500 miles out of the Bible, or there's a whole lot of people that's crossways with God concerning separation. And if I'm wrong, I'd like somebody to show me. I don't want to preach error. I don't want to preach falsehood. I don't. I'm not a hireling either. I mean, I'm not interested in preaching just to please crowd. Amen? And our church is growing. I know I could lay stuff like this aside, but how can I do that and be right with God when God said preach it? I can't be right with God. Our church won't grow if I'm in here preaching messages that I ain't supposed to preach. How's our church going to grow? How's our church going to grow when I make a deliberate choice to not preach certain things because I know that it's going to be that old get underneath the load and grab a hold of the load and pull all the way through the service to try to preach that truth? I dread getting in the pulpit when I'm going to be dealing with this subject because it's the same, always the same. I'd probably pass out of a heart attack if I started preaching on biblical separation. Not on a tangent, not off on wild rage. I'm talking about trying to preach biblically on separation and start getting a bunch of amens and amen, preacher, preach it, that's right. I'd probably faint. But I just know to accept it. Here, it'll be the old pull it off the bottom deal. Amen. Well, we'll see what happens. Amen. But there's the affiliation. And then there's another one. There's acceptation. That's a purpose. What do you mean a purpose? Why? Here it is. He said in verse 17, "Wherefore come out among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing." And here it is. He said, "I will receive you." I want y'all to listen to me just a moment. I know you're tired, wore out, and heard about all this you can handle. That's why I'm getting done with her tonight. Could we pull through here one more time? I don't even remember the last time we dealt with any of these things. It's been years. Probably. And that's probably the reason I'm having to pull on it now. But you know what that word "I'll receive you" is referring to? It's referring to that Old Testament. The opposite of that Old Testament doctrine or truth about the tabernacle, how that God wouldn't let them in. Wouldn't let none of them in except the priest, and that was only once a year. He wouldn't receive them. Once a year he'd receive that priest only if the sacrifice was accepted. But in the New Testament, God is saying, and the reason He wouldn't accept them in the Old Testament because of impurities and unholiness in their life. And God is saying right here that if you'll listen to the separated life, fall in line, not seek to be worldly and carnal, but seek to be holy and pure, not holier than thou, but holy and pure to bring honor and glory to Him, identifying yourself with Him, He said, "I'm going to let you in. I'm going to let you in. I'm going to let you experience some of the Shekinah glory of God." I've seen times, boy, when God come in a service and people sit there like, they wasn't getting in. They'd said no and stubbed up on preaching all those other times, and now when God's Shekinah glory moves in a service, all they can do is sit there and say, "Well, I wonder what it's like to be in. I wonder what it's like to get in and be inside there and get in that glory." And He said, "I'll receive you." He said, "I'll let you into my favor. I'll let you into my favor. I'll show kindness to you. I'll let you see and get and experience my glory." Amen. But who's He talking to? He's talking to that crowd that's going to listen to Him and obey Him and try to be a separated people. So there's acceptation. Well, then last of all, there is the personal responsibility of separation. Chapter 7, verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, the fear of God." Whose responsibility is it for you to be a separated, holy person? Is it the preacher's? No. It's ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from some or from all. What does it say? From all filthiness. So you'll never cleanse yourself from something you don't view to be filthy. That's right. But if you view something, and that's where preaching comes in, that's where your personal prayer life comes in, your personal Bible reading comes in, is let the Holy Spirit and the Bible and the preaching of the Word of God declare unto you some things that is filthy. And when you view that it's filthy, guess what you'll do? You'll cleanse yourself from it, because God's people hates sin. So it's our responsibility. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, here it is, of the flesh, that's outward, and of the spirit, little s, that's inward. He said we're to cleanse ourselves outwardly, and we're to cleanse ourselves inwardly for the purpose of what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Right there it is. There it is, separation. And that's a honeybee that'll put honey in your soul. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.